No one can escape this one common emotion. Each of us, no matter our age, feels a measure of remorse about mistakes from our past. Maybe it's a treasured relationship that went sour, or a business partnership that failed. Chuck Swindoll said there's only one thing more tragic than regrets, and that's failing to look back and address them. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck concludes a message introduced last week. The central character in our study is the prophet Joel, who provides a model for us all. Chuck titled today's message, Looking Back, Clearing Away the Trash We Regret.
We all have a past that's strewn with the litter of failure and regression. We all have known unproductive days. We all have failed. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of our God. This isn't about that. This is about falling short and not addressing it, not dealing with it, letting the locusts fly, eat, lick, gnaw, strip a life bare. These locusts came, as I said, as God's discipline upon his people. When you get to chapter 2, there's a break in the story as a little hope shines through. I want you to turn there. It's one of the great hidden promises in the Bible that I've rarely heard anyone even read or quote. Joel 2:25. Look at the hope in this verse. Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping, the stripping, the gnawing locusts. Notice how he identifies them. My great army, which I sent among you. Now, the promise in verse 25 from the Lord in Joel 2 is that he will make up for the years the locusts have eaten. Look at the words, make up to you. It's the idea, listen now, of entering into a state of wholeness. I will restore relationships that the consequences of your wrong have eaten up, like locusts eat the crop. Get the picture? I will restore what you have allowed to be destroyed because of stubbornness, pride, resistance, a deaf ear, and a hard heart. We're talking repentance here, folks. The devastation in natural terms is very clear, but you and I know this book called the Bible is not simply about crops and plants and that which is literal. The spiritual application is painfully obvious. The promise is he is able to restore that relationship. The question, however, is how? What do I do? I think I hear many of you saying, I don't need to hear more about the problem. I need to know how to get rid of the locusts. I need to know how to solve the problem. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, I'd like to give you three simple principles for clearing away the trash of the past of remorse and regret. They are very simple, and all three are found by principle right here in the scriptures. The first one is in verse 12, verse 13 of chapter 2. Look closely, 2:12. After describing how devastating the situation was in the nation, he adds, yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Verse 13, rend your heart, not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God. First principle, start immediately without rationalization. Start immediately without rationalization. It's so easy to put something off that's painful, or to find an excuse for our past actions. If she hadn't said, if he hadn't, then I, that's a rationalization. To rationalize, according to Webster, is to provide plausible but untrue reasons for one's conduct. Isn't that good? Plausible but untrue reasons for one's conduct. I did not do this because of anyone else. I did what I did that was wrong because inside me is a wrong nature. And I responded wrong. I allowed this situation to result in such and such from my life. The point I'm making is start immediately. Don't put it off and don't pass it off to anyone else. Second, don't pass it off. Saying, when somebody else makes his or her move, then I'll say, no, that's rationalization. It's not someone else's move, it's yours. It's yours. Start immediately without rationalization. Let me get more specific. Some who listen to me today are teenagers, and you're making life miserable in the home, not only for your parents, but for your siblings. You need to start immediately addressing the things that are wrong and seeking forgiveness from those you have hurt and harmed by your actions. Yes. Some of you have been very difficult mates to live with. You have been difficult. Life has become increasingly more difficult in the home because of the way you have conducted your life. Selfishly, stubbornly, in pride, demanding, unforgiving, and whatever may be the list, you could put together better than I. It's your move. Things won't get better until you address the wrongs now without rationalization. He says in this verse, even now return to me. And again in 13, now return to the Lord your God. Second principle, return completely without reservation. Let me say that again. Return completely without reservation. 12b, or the end of verse 12, says, return to me with A-L-L. That's nothing hidden, with all your heart. He includes fasting, weeping, mourning. Verse 13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. Well, we don't need a tangible show of emotion. We need a heartbreaking admission of fault with no blame included, no blame, no hidden clauses, no inner reservations, no closed doors, no carefully kept secrets. Repentance is incomplete. Listen to this. When there are areas that are held back or protected, or left unaddressed and unaccountable. Repentance is complete when your life is an open book before the one you have wronged. Because I don't know who you are, I haven't been able to talk to you personally about this. I can only say generally, surely in a gathering or a listening audience this large, there are some who are living a double life. The secrets you are keeping will one day be known, and the devastation will be even worse. Now is the time before the turn of the year for you to come to terms with what has been allowed to go on inappropriately. And they need to be stopped, not only immediately, but completely without reservation. There isn't any wobble room in this. It's interesting, when surgeons look closely at a diseased area, if they are competent surgeons, they do not ignore the diseases. They do not overlook a tumor. They don't do us a favor by not telling us. They address it. Even when they say, you know, I need to tell you that this will be a very painful and it'll be a very lengthy surgery, and I'm not sure of the outcome, but one thing is certain, we will not leave this as it is. That's a good surgeon. The Lord, who is the physician of our souls, is like that when it comes to locusts. This is not a simple and easy sermon to preach. But this is something that needs to be said to this flock. I don't know whom you have offended. I don't know if you have. But I say, if that person is in this church, that person needs to hear from you. That needs to be made right. It needs to be done completely, yes, privately. There is no need to stand before the entire congregation because you have this situation with one other person. Go to the one other person. I want to be delicate here, but I want to be careful here. It's a delicate subject, but I would say it takes some people 3-4 years of therapy to come to the point where they will do this. This is a hard thing. It's a hard thing, especially if it's been built up beyond just the year. Some of you haven't spoken to members of your family for who knows how long. Or there are people you were once close to, and for whatever reasons, many of them your own fault, that breakdown is there, and that distance has just grown. It won't go. It won't be bridged automatically or easily. It's your move. I'm telling you how to move into a new year with a fresh, new perspective. You got to take care of the trash that's been littered from your truck. It's time for radical surgery. It will hurt, but it's necessary. Now, here's the third principle. Look at verse 15, 2:15. Blow a trumpet at Zion. Listen to this. Zion is Jerusalem. Blow a trumpet in the city. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, the nursing infants. We're talking about a crowd. The bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? Third, repent openly without hesitation. Repent openly without hesitation. Start immediately without rationalization. Return completely without reservation. Repent openly without hesitation. What am I saying? I am saying that you hold nothing back. My dad used to put it this way, you put your pride in your pocket and you walk directly, or you make contact directly with the individual or plural individuals, and you sit with them and you work through sufficiently where that person is able to look at you ultimately and say, I forgive you. It is remarkable what relief this will bring. It is remarkable how the rejoicing will return. It is just amazing what this will do, not only in your inner life, but in your relationship with people who have not been offended. You become, if you will, a new person. It's time for a little honest statement here from, not that everything else hasn't been honest, but it's time for me to, candid is the word I should have used. There was a time in my life in ministry when I would not have preached this sermon. You know why? Because there's a whole train of people that I had hurt. And I had been in a ministry where you didn't give attention to that. You just press right on. Doesn't matter. People need to grow up. You know, shake it off. It's a big life. Keep going. And it was a great day in my life when I had a very fine mentor look at me and say to me, you know, there's something you need to know. It's a real blind spot for you. And he told me. He was right. You know, I didn't become less of a man because I took care of the homework. I think I, for the first time, was freed. Truth sets you free. Truth really sets you free. And I can't guarantee that there will be an immediate response of understanding and embracing and, you know, let's all go to dinner type thing. I think it will take some people who have been hurt for a long time because of you time to get through that. It will take them a while. First, to believe that you're really sincere. That's why I'm talking about repentance being done so openly. And I mean, if the man is saying, blow a trumpet in Zion, if he's saying, children and bride and groom and minister and all gather. I mean, this is an open dealing with it. This is no holds barred. I would love to think that we step into a new year as a congregation with no lingering offenses. I would love to think that. I would love to think that you are mature, a man or woman, enough to say, the man was talking to me. This happens to be the second of our morning worship services. At the immediate close of our first service, a man walked up to me and said with tears, "I need to talk to someone right now, right now." That's an unusual response for me to hear. And I directed him to one of our soul care people, and he immediately walked into the prayer room. He was very troubled over this. And I wanted to embrace him. Good for you. Good for you. With some of you, it's a husband-wife breakdown, and that's a very personal thing that the two of you must work through. The Lord is able to do that. He'll honor that kind of integrity, kind of honesty, kind of candor. Your marriage may be held together by a very thin thread. My hope today is to give you what's necessary by way of courage to step into it. Step right into it. Just step right into it. Don't wait. Don't wait for a better moment. There is no better moment. Now's the time. One of our interns in a former ministry, very gifted young man, left our ministry to go to the other, thinking that this was going to be a great place to serve. And he was there, I don't know, not quite a year before I heard from him. And he said, "Boy, things are really tough." Well, that resulted in a phone conversation. And I said, "What, you know, can I help?" And he said, "I don't think so." He said, "Actually, my door opens and it bumps against the pastor's door. That's how close our offices are. We haven't spoken for 4.5 months. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong if your doors are that close and you haven't spoken in a week. Some of you have bumped doors with individuals who, believe it or not, would really love to have a relationship with you. But you have rendered it impossible. Your stubbornness has created that. And today it is my unhappy but a responsible assignment to tell you that you simply invite divine discipline by putting it off. The locusts will swarm, and they will devastate your joy. They will make your life unproductive. I know what I'm talking about. Serious, isn't it? Bow with me, will you? Today's the day of deliverance. Now's the time. Maybe with one of your in-laws, I don't know. Maybe with a person at work, at school, maybe a former employee, former coach, player, former minister. I know, you can't make the world right, but you can address the things that have made you wrong. That's all I'm asking. God doesn't ask you to clean up the fishbowl. That's his job. You got to deal with the stuff in your life. Especially where it's poured over into another and it's brought heartache and misery and distance and pain. If you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, all of this comes as strange information to you. Because you see, you've never first submitted to Him at the cross. That's where Christians get their start. They listen and they bow before the cross, believing that the Lord Jesus paid the complete penalty for our sins. We thank Him and we receive Him. We take Him as Lord and Master. If you've never done that, that's your starting place. And then you deal with the other. But I talk mainly today to you who know the Lord. But you've run roughshod and you've continued to do that. And it's time. It's gone on long enough. It's been a searching time, Father. It's been a time in which we have reviewed the sigh of our past doings. As David said, we lament, we are in anguish in our souls over these things. What an appropriate time for us to gain a whole new perspective on life as it is, and upon our world as it should be. How great it would be to have the plants once again luxurious and productive. How wonderful it would be if the green were to replace the white and the brown, and the fruit again appear, the fruit of the Spirit, as you have your way in each one of our lives. I place myself before you and I ask that you bring to my attention anything or anyone where something needs to be taken care of. And may that be done sooner, not later. And may it be done fully, not half-heartedly or with reluctance. And may our repentance come before you as a sweet-smelling aroma that pleases you, which you will honor, and you will make up for the years that the locusts have eaten. I pray this, Lord, trusting you to give courage where needed, and immediacy where it's appropriate. In the name of Christ, I ask this. Amen.
Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Looking Back, Clearing Away the Trash We Regret. To purchase CDs or find downloadable audio files, look for the series titled Gaining a Fresh Perspective at insightworld.org/store. There's much more to learn in Tuesday's program when Chuck Swindoll talks about finding healing through forgiveness, so be sure to join us. And in a moment, we'll hear a closing illustration from Chuck as well. First, though, let me remind you that this coming Friday represents a critical deadline for this ministry. On June 30th, at midnight, Insight for Living will close the books on another ministry year. This milestone represents far more than an accounting deadline. It sets the course for reaching more people like you in the coming 12 months. Our goal is to teach God's people to think biblically. Chuck often says when we think biblically, we're prone to act biblically. Chuck, you reinforced this truth in a personal letter you wrote to our listening family, and I was intrigued by the story you told about King Josiah, who took the throne when he was only 8 years old.
Right, just 8 years old, Dave, and his 31-year reign was nothing short of phenomenal. Today, I'm inviting you to be a part of something phenomenal, too. When he was only a teenager, Josiah began seeking the Lord in earnest. And in his 20s, think of it, the man began a campaign to rid his nation of idol worship and godless thinking. There's a touching moment in Josiah's story that unfolds in 2 Chronicles 34. You can read it for yourself. It was actually a turning point in his life, and it was a pivotal event for the people of Judah. While cleaning up the temple, the workers discovered the law of Moses. Josiah had never laid eyes on it before. Think of that. When they unrolled that scroll and read the law of Moses to Josiah, and when he realized that his nation Judah had been out of alignment with God's thinking, Josiah demonstrated his fear and sadness and passion by ripping his clothes in great remorse. That's the equivalent of breaking down in tears and repenting on one's knees before God. Now, here's what happened. Josiah's reverence for God's holiness, his commitment to thinking biblically, was used by God to ignite a radical reformation in the entire land of Judah. Yes, that's absolutely phenomenal. Let me draw the simple parallel for you. Our nation, our world, needs women and men like Josiah who think biblically and who in turn begin to act according to God's revealed word. What a difference that makes. That's what Insight for Living Ministries is all about, equipping listeners like you to read and then revere God's word as the standard for life. Christians who think biblically are prepared to act biblically. We're at a critical juncture, and your donation this month will make all the difference right here at Insight for Living Ministries. We have embarked on a phenomenal mission to go into all 195 countries for the single purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus. Will you be a part of something phenomenal today by making the most generous donation you can afford? Here's how you do it. You can pick up the phone or send a check in the mail, or if you prefer, you can give online. Let's work together to be a part of something absolutely phenomenal. Let's start doing that today.
And we're asking God to move in the hearts of people like you to give above and beyond. Will you be a part of something phenomenal today by making the most generous donation you can offer? Be sure to respond today, or certainly before the deadline on Friday. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it might be quicker and more efficient to simply give online at insight.org. With your special contribution today, we're saying thanks by providing a remarkable book that comes highly recommended by Chuck. It's called The Little Red Book of Wisdom. The author originally wrote this book for his teenage children. It's practical, it's fun to read, and it's another way to acquire skills at thinking biblically. When you give today, be sure to request The Little Red Book of Wisdom. Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues this series called Gaining a Fresh Perspective here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Looking Back, Clearing Away the Trash We Regret, was copyrighted in 2001, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.